President Cup's a big thing, and it means a lot to the international team to come here to Australia, and we've got four great representatives, four Australians that will spearhead the attack, and it'd be just fitting, I think, to get it done again here.
That was Ian Baker-Finch of Australian Golf's most recognisable voices these days. Of course, a major champion himself, talking about the President's Cup and the media day yesterday at Royal Melbourne. The Composite Course Challenge was on, and Nick O'Hearn, who knows all about that and a whole lot more, was a part of it. He joins us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, guys.
Great to have you with us. How'd you end up yesterday? How'd you hit him?
I wasn't too bad, actually. Felt pretty good out there. Any chance you get to play out at Royal Melbourne on the Composite, it's always a treat, and the course was just unbelievable how good it is out there. And, you know, they could hold the tournament there tomorrow if they wanted to. It's that good.
We were talking earlier this morning about really looking forward to the President's Cup. But when you're there and you see the course as it's going to be played, it becomes a bit more real. Do you get that sense as well, or is it, having played it so many times, it's just pretty regulation for you?
Oh, no, it's still very special when you get out there. Obviously, there's a lot of grandstands and a lot of infrastructure that have been put into the golf course over a long period of time. So a lot of the holes tend to look quite different, actually, with grandstands behind them and to the side. But I've played some big events there, and it's always great to see the marquees and the stands that run along 18 East, which is now going to be the 16th in the Composite. And it kind of, you know, still gives you tingles from some memories that I've had over the years there.
Now, Nick, Scotty Gullin and I were playing in the same group yesterday, and there's quite a few times where we thought, what would Nick O'Hearn do here? Because you got in my head after yesterday about plotting your way around the golf course and where you position yourself on the fairways and these sorts of things. On 18, we had about a sort of a 60-metre shot to the green. We had no idea how to play it because the flag was on the front. We knew that if we were short, it'd run back off the front. But if we actually hit the ball to sort of pin high, it was going to trampoline back to the back of the green and have a treacherous downhill putt. What did you do?
What did I do? I was about actually 20 yards short of the green in two, and I just chipped it to a foot. So I thought it was quite a simple.
But, okay, smart man. But point is, there were so many shots that we had yesterday where we thought, this is going to be impossible to get this close. And we were talking yesterday about imagination around the greens and actually thinking about shots sort of two or three back as well as the shot you're playing to set it up into the right spots. And that's, I guess, what makes Royal Melbourne so good.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, every shot you have out there, you have options. You know, the one you're talking about, yes, you could try and land a lob wedge, you know, next to the flag and spin it. Or you can bump and run a fire line, or maybe hit a wedge or a 9-iron or something like that. So that's the beauty of the golf course. And trying to play a shot that feels comfortable for you is obviously number one. But the problem out there is you just feel so uncomfortable on so many shots because they are so difficult. And trying to leave the ball below the hole is very, very tricky. And that was, I think on that 18th hole as you're talking about, that was almost impossible without it running off the green. So you're faced with a multitude of choices, and it's really just a case of sometimes you know, sucking it up and leaving yourself with a pretty tough neck shot.
I tried to spin it to a foot and put it 60 feet past and had four putts.
Nick, Jeff Ogilvie had some great comments, a bit of insight when asked about, you know, Brooks Koepka, these guys who haven't experienced it and, you know, are used to just coming down and bombing things all over the place. That's going to be really the great test for them, isn't it? Because you can't put your ball in certain spots.
It is going to be very interesting to see how quickly they can adapt to the golf course. But, you know, they are pro golfers for a reason and obviously very good. And one of their skill sets is to learn on the fly. So now, can they do that within a few days of arriving? Who knows? I mean, I've always said one of the advantages we're going to have is they might be a bit jet lagged because they're coming from Bahamas the week before. So maybe we can play up on that a little bit. But, you know, they're going to have to learn very quickly about how firm and how fast these greens are. And to be honest, I don't think you can do it within a week. You know, I've still played with members out at Royal Melbourne and they're still confused by the greens out there. So trying to learn it within a few days is going to be interesting. So they'll be relying on the experience of players like Tiger Woods, who, you know, rates Royal Melbourne up there as one of his favourite golf courses. And the same case for the internationals, Ernie Els. You know, when he shot 60 around there, he knows that course very, very well. And we have a number of Aussies and assistant captains like Jeff who are going to we're going to help the players out and really they'll lean heavily on their experience.
Jeff was also talking yesterday, Nick, about the team factor and the camaraderie that he feels the international team has leading into this one, which is different to other President's Cups. It's a very different format, obviously, in the world of golf, which is so much about the one person or the player and the caddy week to week. But this is you are relying on other people to make things happen for you sometimes. How different is it from a mindset perspective to shift into that mode?
Very, as a golfer, because it's such usually an individual game, as you mentioned, and moving into that team format where what you do can affect other players, it really can weigh heavily on you. So, I mean, the most nervous I've ever been in golf tournaments was at President's Cup because I didn't want to let my teammates down, whereas normally it's a case of, well, if I screw up, well, I can deal with it myself. But in this case, you've got 11 other players and captains and support staff around you, that, and also obviously fans that are, you know, wanting you to do very well. So, but at the same time, you can use that to your advantage as well. You can pick their brains a little bit and get some really good ideas as you're going around the golf course from them. So, it is a slightly different mindset in that I think you need to be a little bit more open to suggestion, because sometimes we can be a little bit stubborn as to what we do and what works for us, but. You know, when you have some of the best players in the world trying to help you out, you generally take their advice.
Now, you're someone that beats Tiger Woods on a regular basis. how much, I mean, are you going to have a role, or are you someone that can give advice just from the side? How does it all work with the international team? Obviously, there are only four Australians that are going to be in there, but the whole mental side of the game, which is, it's absolutely your wheelhouse. How do you go about it, particularly someone like Tiger?
Well, yeah, I was waiting for that captain's pick, but it never came up, unfortunately.
You're a bit stiff.
No, you know, the guys are very well-versed in what they're trying to do, and but they know how to play match play, and obviously they've got a great team unit going with Ernie at the helm there, which is fantastic. You know, from the mental standpoint, it's match play is just such a different beast. You know, you can win a hole with seven, and you can lose a hole with three on a hole. So it's a matter of how you deal with that and how you attack the golf course, and I think that's the beauty of Royal Melbourne, is you're going to see some train wrecks out there, because guys will be more aggressive, and there are certain holes out there where you just can't be aggressive. You have to play conservatively. So that's going to be fascinating viewing, I think, for a lot of the fans and the spectators out there that are watching it live, especially, in that it's going to be a very, very interesting format, and I'm really intrigued to see how they attack the golf course from a strategic standpoint, especially on some of the holes, because it's one of the few courses in the world where you stand on a tee box on a par 4 or 5 and you think, well, where's the pin position, because I need to work my way back from there as to give me the best angles and things like that. So yeah, it's like playing a long version of a chess match, so to speak.
It's a great way of putting it, I reckon, and we cannot wait for it to be just around the corner. Royal Melbourne, a couple of weeks' time, some of the best players on the planet, the USA versus the international team for the President's Cup. Always appreciate chatting to you, Nick, and your insight in the game of golf. A pleasure again today. Thank you.
All right, cheers, guys.